Genesis chapter 4 tonight.
Amen. Get your Bibles open there now.
I will not have prayer meeting Saturday night, and give everybody a chance to stay at home. Now let's try this, brother. There we go. I got an old weak battery out here. Try it on this one for a few minutes. Genesis chapter number 4. Amen. We're going to talk about prayer tonight, since we're getting ready to have this all-night prayer meeting. And hope it'll be a blessing to you. I'm going to say a few things that you've heard. I mean, nothing new. We need to be reminded of what we do need, what we do know. And that's what this is tonight. Genesis chapter 4. And I want you to look at verse number 26. This is the first time in the Bible that it mentions people praying. There's four chapters before anybody prays or it mentions it. And we'll look here in Genesis chapter 4 and look at verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. There was something about the birth of this man or something that caused the difference here. Right after that, as he said, then began men to call on the name of the Lord. I don't know what they did before that. I know Adam and Eve seen God face to face before they got kicked out. And then when they got out, then they had some kind of communication with God, evidently. But when this man was born, the Bible said, then began men to call on the name of the Lord. And people have been doing it ever since. People try all kinds of ways to pray. People try everything to pray, but the prayer is the greatest God-given privilege that we have. You think of everything that God's given us, somebody name me something greater, a privilege, than it would be to pray. Like traveling or going somewhere or being able to sing or whatever. I don't know of a greater privilege. I don't believe there is a greater privilege than to us, little creatures, be able to talk to the King of Kings. I talked to a young preacher last night named Shaw. Some of y'all remember Shaw? Anybody remember Shaw? He's the guy that got his face tore up real bad. Gary was in that wreck. We come home and camped, and everybody got on fire for God. They went to Hickory to give out tracts and wrecked and about killed every one of them. And that always happens when you get on fire for the Lord like that. Well, Shaw's pastoring a church now up in Virginia somewhere. And Shaw, I began to talk to him, and he's got a wife, a couple of kids. And Shaw told me, he said, man, the Lord's good. He's sort of Yankee, but he talked. He said, man, the Lord's good. Man, the Lord's good. And he said, I'm amazed every day that he'd have anything to do with something like me. And you know, boy, he said that, and I know that. I mean, you always say it all the time, but it just hit me again that God Almighty would listen to us. It's astounding. It really is. It just blows you out of the water, like they say. Over the top, that God would listen to us. I mean, He hung the stars in place. He runs the universe. That He would listen to us up here on our neck. And you know what? You know why we don't pray? We don't pray because deep down inside we think, it ain't going to do no good. Huh? Somebody told me yesterday, one of our church members going through a hard time. And this man said, how come you pray and pray and pray and just don't do no good? I said, you're making a mistake there. It seems like it don't do no good. Just because God don't jump right when we ask Him to, don't mean the Lord ain't listening. So I'm going to talk about us praying tonight. Praying is your greatest privilege. Now, some of y'all are looking at this wrong already. You're sitting there thinking, Brother Danny's going to lay a guilt trip on us. We're going to have to pray. The right way to look at it is, we get to talk to God. I get to talk to God Almighty. Me. Now, you know good and well. Come on now, people. You know good and well. If Jesus was sitting in my office in the flesh, and I said, you can go in there and talk to Him and tell Him about your needs and problems, you'd say, oh my goodness. This is the greatest privilege I ever had in my life. I get to sit down and talk to the Lord. Well, He's not in there in the flesh, but He is listening to us when we pray. You go right into the very throne room of God. I mean, the Bible, into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're like me. You're like me. You think, I'm not worthy. And you're absolutely right. That's what the man told me last night. He said, I'm not worthy. I said, I know you ain't. What's that got to do with it?
Moses wasn't worthy. Abraham wasn't worthy. Daniel wasn't worthy. Anybody that's ever talked to him wasn't worthy. Amen? We ain't talking to him because we're worthy. We're talking to him because he invites us to come in. So we're going to talk about it tonight. You don't bother to give God instructions. You just pray. You just report for duty. And when we pray, when we pray, we're not there to tell God what we think ought to be done. We're there reporting for duty. Yes, sir, Lord, what do you need me to do? So tonight, I'm going to say a few things. If you want to write these things down, you can. I'm not going to give you scripture for all of them because I want to try to get them all in just in a few minutes. First of all, number one, prayer is the sin killer. Prayer is the sin killer. Every time I say it like this, the example is 2 Kings 23, 3-8, Josiah. When Josiah began to pray, the Bible said he put away the abominations in Israel. Now, there ain't nothing will get you to put away the abominations in your life like praying. Now, I'm going to say something that some of you is going to disagree with. But I believe if you'll check me out by the Scripture, we got some guys in here who study the Bible, you know the Bible. I believe if you'll check me out by the Scripture, you'll have to agree that I'm right. I'm going to say this, and you're going to disagree with it, some of you, but there ain't nothing will help you live right any more than praying. And I've heard it said, learn to say no, promises, promise keepers, meetings, being accountable to your wife, to your husband, all that's good, all that's well, but you know this old human heart, if it wants to sin, it'll finagle around and find out a way to sin. I've heard people say, well, I've got so-and-so watching my husband at work, and she's going to tell me if he flirts, and I'm telling you, I'll beat the devil out of him and her too. Listen, if God can't keep your husband right, you sure can't. Lady, if God can't keep your wife right with God, you sure can't. And I'll say the same thing to teenagers. I'm all for making them come home at a certain time of night. I'm all for putting rules in the household and making all that. But when it comes right down to it, the only thing going to make a person live right is when they get right with God in their heart. That's it. You can clean them up on the outside, they ain't going to do no good. Man, I tell you, we were in a Christian school all them years. I started a Christian school. My kids never been to a public school today in their life. I'm a firm believer in it. I believe every kid ought to get go. But that ain't going to make them live right. It'll keep them away from some things. Man, as soon as they get out of your sight, boom, they're going to do what's in their heart. And so prayer is a sin killer. If you've got some sin, I had a man tell me one time, I guess this might sound a little plain, but it popped in my head and I'm going to say it. Man told me up at New Manor one time, he said, Brother Danny, he said, I'm having terrible time with evil thoughts, lustful thoughts, wicked thoughts. He said, I can't keep them out of my mind. He said, I've always been, once in a while, something like that, but he said, it's driving me crazy. He said, it just torments me. He said, I can't even come to church without thinking wicked thoughts about the girls going singing in the choir. So he said, I can't even keep a clean mind in the church. You know what a man like that's got to do? He's got to get the sin killer. Now, we ain't never going to be perfect, and you ain't never going to get to the place where the devil don't put something in your heart once in a while. But I'm telling you tonight, a Christian don't have to live with their mind and heart full of a bunch of trash all the time. There's a difference between being a sinner by nature and letting sin run your life. You don't have to. You say, Lord, I don't all I can think about. Well, how much time you spent in your Bible last week and praying, and how much time you spent watching TV? That might be your problem right there. Prayer is a sin killer. I always think about it like this. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. You'll never get to where you don't you have some kind of temptation in this life till you die. You think, oh my goodness, I thought a wicked thought last week, and Brother Danny's saying I'm going to hell. I didn't say that. I'm just saying when it consumes you and it runs your life and you can't even worship God or nothing, what you're sitting there thinking a bunch of filth, then you need the sin killer. You need all night prayer meeting. You need Friday night. That's what you need. You know what it's like? Them weeds over at the church. I've seen them. They're rearing their ugly heads. I've been dreading seeing them weeds come out all around that fence down through there. And you know what I'm going to do as soon as the youth rally's over? I'm getting one of them things. I'm getting one of them things with a big tank on it. And son, I'm going to squirt it on them things and beat them down. And it'll take care of them for about a month. You beat it down. You don't kill the root. It's still there. But you can beat it down. That's the way sin is in your life. And they say you ain't supposed to spray that on the side of the interstate. Well, I say you are supposed to. And they can spray blackberries and poison you. Amen. And spray them weeds. We'll just spray on our side of the fence. Some of it goes over. That's tough. They should have built a better fence. But really, I don't like them old weeds growing up on up through there. And I'm around your house. You got Roundup. You put Roundup around there to beat them weeds down. That's the way we have to do our hearts. You have to pray and read the Bible to beat sin down. Listen, I've been saved a long time, people. You say, well, glory to God, I went to altar, got right with God. Woo! Smooth sailing from here on. I don't think so. In 2 months, you'll be just as wicked as the devil if you don't learn how to pray and kill that sin in your heart. You'll never get it out by the roots. It's in us. It's always going to be there. I hate to tell you, when I first got saved, I remember, and I believe the Lord blessed me for this, but I remember I made up my mind I was never going to sin. A bunch of times. I did. I still do that occasionally. But I used to think you could do it. When I first got saved, I remember getting down in my basement floor and just beating the floor and saying, God, I am not going to do nothing wrong. Nothing. And I remember driving to town and saying, well, I ain't done nothing wrong so far. I'm doing pretty good here, you know, and everything. And I thought, am I doing? And then I wondered, well, have I done everything I ought to do? And have I not? Have I witnessed? And maybe I didn't pray as much. And I felt guilty for not doing stuff and everything. And it finally dawned on me that you ain't going to get all the sin out of your heart. Never. Not as long as you're in this life. You say, well, brother Danny, we can live above sin. The only way you can live above sin is live on the second floor of the pool hall, brother. I'm going to tell you something. That's right. That's right. You ain't gonna live sinless in this world. It ain't going to happen. Oh, I've met some. I've seen an old lady in the store up there in Kentucky, and I just wanted to brag on her. She had on a dress down to there. And I mean, she had one of them little Church of God hairdos. But you know how they don't believe it. They believe it's sin to cut it, but they bowl it up here like that, you know. And we can see their ears. And no makeup, nothing. I went to her and I said, ma'am, you look like a Christian, don't you? And I said, you're a Christian. She said, yes, I am. She said, why you say that? I said, you just look like one. She looked like one of them praying grandmas. And I said, I'm a preacher. I want you to pray for me. And she said, well, I appreciate that, you know, and everything. But, you know, I've seen them like that. I mean, to look at them, you'd think you was looking at St. Francis the 13th or something. And, buddy, I'm telling you, some of them old women is as mean as a snake. Cut your guts out and you turn your back. You can't eradicate this flesh. I know preachers that's got more convictions. They got a bunch. Their God can't even live up to their standards. He don't even say it in the Bible, all their beliefs they have. They got more beliefs. Lord have mercy. They got convictions about this. I heard a preacher, and he's a good preacher. I was listening to today's good preacher. I've been listening to some hard preaching, trying to get, you know, trying to straighten me out and help me. I mean, hard, harder the better. And he was preaching on rock music, and he done real good. But then he got on Southern Gospel, and he just railed on Southern Gospel. And they believe it's, I know that shocked y'all, but that's what they teach it at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Hiles Church and all that. They teach that most of Southern Gospel ain't no good. I mean, most of y'all know that they teach that. And they say because it's got that honky-tonk beat and all that, and you can't disagree with that, really. Some of it does. But the singing like we have, it ain't what they got, but it ain't wrong. I'm telling you, brother, that's the singing like we have here, it ain't wrong. You don't have to worry about it. But he's talking about a song, he said, I'll see you in the rapture. And most of you have heard that song. Remember the old song, I'll See You in the Rapture? Most of y'all remember that, don't you? I'll see you in the rapture. Man, where you people been? I used to sing it all the time about 25 years ago. I'll see you in the rapture. How many knows that song? Okay. It goes like this. If we never meet again on this earth, my dear friend, If to God we have been true and we lived above all sin, then for us there'll be a meeting and joy the happy greeting. I'll see you in the rapture some sweet day. And boy, he got on that said word, said we live above all sin. He said, that's false doctrine. And it is. And he said, that's a wicked song. And it ain't. That's a good song. Somebody just got off there a little bit. There's stuff in the old hymnal John Wesley and them wrote that ain't doctrinally correct. They sure are. So don't get to the point where you think, I'm so righteous I don't do nothing wrong. Listen, if my girl's the worst thing they listen to is I'll see you in the rapture, I ain't going to complain too much. Amen? That's right. If you got teenagers that listen to I'll see you in the rapture, don't whine about it saying living above sin. I'd rather live above it and live under it. Anyway, prayer is a sin killer. When you begin to pray about something, you'll start putting away sin. You can't pray and sin. You go crazy. You'll quit sinning or quit praying. One of the two. I've been praying the Lord, and you know what? Have you ever done this? You prayed and prayed, and that little old sin's in your heart, and you pray, and then the devil comes along and says, you know good and well you're going to do that again. There ain't no use in you praying about it. You're just insulting God. You know, well, it's like taking a bath, brother. You know you're going to get dirty again. You quit taking baths. What if I said, there ain't no use taking a bath. Just get dirty again. After about 2 weeks of that, y'all come in and say, Brother Danny, you usually smell pretty good. I don't know what you got on there, but whew, smells like stank. Better or something. But I'm telling you, brother, we need to pray. It reminded me of something the other day. You know people's getting... This reminded me of something. I want to tell you something happened to me the other day. It's wicked. It's wicked. And one reason why we need to pray for our youth rally is because young people are getting wickeder and wickeder. They say openly things now that people used to even talk about almost that was married. I stopped in the store the other night down here to get some guys. This girl running the store, she leaned up and said, man, you smell good. Girls used to didn't say stuff like that to guys. She's about 19, 20. I said, thank you. Your hair looks nice. And then she leaned up and said, you got pretty eyes. Let's keep it going. And I said, the Lord loves you. Do you know that? And she just went like that right there. I had to straighten her out like that. But listen, we're living in a wicked time. And they don't mean to. I don't think they really mean to. Girls are trained nowadays to be flirts. Flirts. Them girls from Alabama, bless their heart, they're as sweet as they can be. You'll see them. I mean, they're excited about it. I was down there preaching, and I mean, they're good. They didn't mean nothing bad by this. Every time I come in, they'd say, hey, Button. And the next night they come in, they said, hey, Button. I said, did they call me Button? At first I thought, next night one of them said, well, hey, there's Button. I said, why y'all call me Button? They said, because you're cute as a button. I said, Lord have mercy. People used to didn't say stuff like that. How many of you ever heard anybody? Has anybody ever heard anybody? Have you heard that? Where'd that come from? Oh, you have. Thanks a lot. But what I'm saying is, listen, brother. Listen, we need, Lord have mercy. And that ain't nothing to what some of these girls tell me, that guys pull up beside them at a red light and try to pick them up, take them out. I mean, all the time. I mean, you young girls, I mean, you get it all the time. But it used to not be the other way around. I've been flashed a couple, two or three times. And you wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you. And I mean bad. And I mean, not boys either. I'm talking about girls. Amen? Whatever. Prayer is a sin killer. Prayer is a sin killer. It's not what you think. It's what they do at New Orleans for beads and the beach and stuff. Prayer is the sin killer. Prayer is the sin killer. Lord, y'all get your mind out of the gutter. Prayer is the sin killer. You want sin out of your heart, you have to pray. You have to pray. And you have to pray and say, dear God, help me. 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 And then the next time you think about doing that, you'll remember saying, "Dear God, help me," for about 2 hours, and it'll help. It's like spraying Roundup on the weed. It'll beat it down. Now, it'll come back. It will come back, just like dirt comes back on you. But you take another bath. So prayer is a sin killer. Lord, have mercy, I've wasted all my time on this. But let me say number two tonight. Prayer is the strength obtainer. Prayer is the strength obtainer. In 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, you know what the Bible said. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, said there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will also with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Everybody ought to memorize that verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. I've had people tell me, "Well, Brother Danny, I just could, it was too strong. Temptation's too strong. I couldn't resist it." That's not true. It's not true. The Bible says. Now, if the Bible didn't say that, I'd probably agree with you. Because sometimes it does seem overpowering. But the Bible still says there's no temptation that's taken you, but it's common to men. Notice that. Common to men. Don't think, "Well, I'm the only one that's ever been tempted like this." No, that ain't right. It's common to men. People don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, they do, because they're going through the same thing. Amen? Amen? Brother Danny, you just have no idea. I do. I'm made out of the same stuff you are. Let's get rid of this junk. Oh, the preacher, he's above sin. He couldn't be tempted. Or the singers, because we look so holy up here. Listen, brother, we're all made out of the same old rotten stuff. Every one of us. And if you sit there tonight and act like you're so holy and you ain't kidding nobody but yourself.
Yeah.
You ain't kidding me. But there's only one way we can get strength to help, brother, and that's on our knees. On our knees. Prayer is a strength obtainer. Beware of limiting God. Beware of thinking that's all he can do, you know, or he can't do no more. That's a mistake. I've heard people say, "I don't see how a person can stand this or that," because the Lord helps them. You pray about it. You pray about your particular sin. Maybe it's running your mouth. Maybe it's eating too much. Maybe it's not sleeping enough. Maybe it's too sleeping too much. Maybe it's not too much TV, wrong stuff. Maybe you pray about your particular sin. When we meet here Friday night, whatever your sin is, just say, "Dear God, help me with that. Dear God, help me with that." I remember reading about a great man one time, and this is how your flesh is. He prayed, "God, help me with that sin." And deep, deep down inside, he was hoping that the Lord wouldn't help him because he liked it. That's where your heart is. That's your flesh and your spirit. And some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you don't. But you need to understand, you are a good person living in a bad body. You're two. You're two people. You're a good man inside of a bad man. And that bad man never does want to give in. And the good man, he takes a fit when you sin. And the bad man takes a fit when you won't let him. And that Paul said, it's a fight. He said, it's a fight. It never is going to be easy. You're never just going to get up. I think a lot of young preachers have the idea that, "Boy, if I was pastoring a church and if I was a pastor, glory to God, we'd get things done and I could build this program and that program and we'd see it grow." Well, it'd be that way if they wasn't the devil and your flesh. But I'm telling you, they are one. And every about time you think you got something going over here, something will blow up over here. About the time you got this hole plugged up, he'll find one over here. About the time this thing straightens out, something will mess up over here. And I'm telling you tonight, prayer is the way out. Now, y'all can stop me and say something anytime you want to. I've done used up about all my time. We're going to pray again before we go. Number three. Prayer is the power conductor. I'm going to skip some of this. It's a power conductor. It'll place the wood of our earnest plea on the altar of God's consecration. And the fire of the Holy Ghost ignites it. That's where our power comes from. You pray for me Friday night, that God will give me power, and Saturday night. I mean, I've preached youth meetings all over the country all these years. I helped a friend of mine in Rochester, New York, Brother Roscoe, start that youth meeting, and boy, I'm telling you, that thing's still going good. I have about 1,000 every year now.
And I preached to young people there many, 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 many times. The one down in Florida. And I am very aware that illustrations and stories, the skit. Everybody said, "What's a skit going to be about?" Skit's going. I mean, it's fun and I like it, but that ain't going to change nobody's life. The power's got to come down.
That's right.
You know how come we got lights in here tonight? Power. Somebody goes out there and cuts that line, every light in here, I don't care if they're brand new bulbs, they're going out. I'm sure we've been over there working at the church. And Steve there, he's an electrician. And he could tell you this, I'm sure, a lot better than I could. He could explain it, how that electricity, I have no idea, how electricity comes in here and goes in them lights and it gets lights so we can see. I have no clue. I ain't going to sit around in the dark till I figure it out, though. I'm going to enjoy the light. I'm just going to take it. Like, I don't understand how I can put gas in my 4Runner, liquid gas, and then push the pedal, and it does something in the motor and makes me go up a mountain. But I ain't going to walk until I figure that out. I'm going to drive that thing. All I know is it works. I don't understand how we can get down on our knees and talk to somebody we can't even see, and then something will happen at the youth rally and change somebody's life forever. I don't understand that. I don't understand how black cow and eat green grass and give white milk. But I'm going to eat the cow and drink the milk. Amen?
Yep.
Try to get out of cutting the grass. You think about it. Think about that. We don't understand how it works, but I know that it works.
Yeah.
I know that it works. There's one thing I know, and you're going to hear me say this as long as I'm your pastor. You remember me when I'm dead and gone. You say, "Brother Danny told us, and he told us, and told us. Nothing lasting gets done unless God through His power does it." You can get a little emotional stir. You can get a good laugh out of people. You can hear some good singing. Maybe a good speaker. But you listening? Nothing permanent or lasting gets done unless God does it. And that makes me really depend on Him. And this, as I told you, this thing I'm going to do next Friday night is extremely dangerous. I've had people say, you know, you shouldn't even fool with stuff like that unless you've been fasting for a month, and I ain't been fasting for no month. But I'm not scared. I'm not scared because I know God's bigger than the devil. But I am expecting an attack. So if you get some kind of weird stuff happening, I'd say most of you husbands and wives in here will have one of the worst fights you've ever had within the next week. So when it happens, just remember, saying, "Brother Danny told us this is going to happen. You're not the enemy. I'm not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. It ain't your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your kids. It's the devil." You might get in trouble at work. You might, ain't no telling what's liable to happen. But that's okay. That's okay. God is greater. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Somebody want to say something right quick? I'm going to stop right there and we're going to pray again.